Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm John Davis. Award-winning and multifaceted guitarist John Housley joins us in studio for the remainder of the hour upon the release of his new album of classical guitar songs in the Nuevo Flamenco style. The album is titled The Heart's Furnace. Housley has been playing and teaching guitar since his early teen years. He also founded the Ann Arbor Academy of Music, which averaged some 400 students per week under his leadership. In 1995, he joined the multi-platinum winning Southern rock band Blackfoot before eventually making his way back to Southwest Florida, where he teaches and plays with the highly popular modern rock band A200. However, this represents just one aspect of Housley's musical talents and interests. In addition to writing and producing music, his repertoire spans the history of the guitar, with an emphasis on the Spanish guitar style, exemplified by composers such as Villa-Lobos, as well as works from classical composers such as Bach. John Housley, welcome to Gulf Coast Live. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me, John.
And listeners can connect with John with your comments and questions. Join the conversation by calling 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU. Use the hashtag GCL. So, John, I mentioned you first picked up a guitar at an early age, around like 14. But then within 2 years, you were already teaching others. So, I mean, yes, of course, a lot of hard work and practice. But do you feel like you kind of had an innate capacity for the guitar as well? Did it just come to you?
You know, I was exposed to music with my grandfather and my father. But at the age of 14, I finally got one for my own for my birthday. And it was just infectious, you know, I mean, hours a day. And was fortunate that at the age of 16, when I could finally drive, there was a local music store that needed a guitar instructor. And so the hard work and maybe, you know, propensity for it,
yeah.
The two married together to create an opportunity. So.
Was guitar the first instrument you picked up as a kid?
Yeah, it's the only instrument I've ever really played. You know, I tried violin for a moment, just but the pads of my hands were a little too large to get a half step out of the instrument. So guitar it was.
Yeah. Well, it seems like teaching others has been like an integral part of your life in music. I mentioned the Ann Arbor Academy of Music in your hometown. Tell me about that.
Yeah, when I was I started teaching at the age of 16 and pretty much ran students continuously. For me, I enjoy it, sharing your craft, developing, you know, answering the unanswered question for them. In ways and have to come with different angles to answer that. As I taught more and more, I would work at music stores, teach. And then Al Nally at Ann Arbor at the Nally Music Store finally one day just said, John, why don't we just give you a building and have you teach? And I'm like, thank you, Al. So
yeah.
Off we went and started doing our private instruction in a separate building.
Do you still find time to teach today?
Yes. Yeah, I was doing the Fort Myers Music Academy, but the overhead wasn't making financial sense.
Gotcha.
So I still teach. Mondays are my teach day, and you know, it keeps me in touch with the instrument and students. And
sure. And what came first for you? The more classical style or styles of playing, or was it the rock music?
You know, when I grabbed a guitar, I didn't even listen to music. So I got a guitar, and it was tactile for me. I just enjoyed physically playing the instrument. And then I started scratching my sister's records, her Eagles records, and her, you know, Peter Frampton records.
Mm-hmm.
And so it kind of grew into the popular music of the day, the rock music of the day, 70s rock. And then when I was 16, it was through my 15, 16s, after playing for a couple of years, it's like, this is what I want to do. And if I want to do this, I need to figure out how to do all of it. Diversify. So that's when, you know, I started studying jazz and classical guitar. And as soon as I picked up classical guitar, because of that tactile quality,
yeah,
there's no pick. So both hands are on the strings producing the sound. It was just beautiful for me. And so it's always had a very intimate part of my heart for the classical and the flamenco style especially.
Well, let's go ahead and hear our first song from The Heart's Furnace, and this is Chilean Sky. What can you tell us about this song by way of introduction before we hear it?
Yeah, Chilean Sky was in the 90s when I moved here. I used to perform in Naples and had a group of friends, a circle of friends that were from Chile. And I would go over to these parties, and they would just have music on, and the Gypsy Kings at the time were playing, and everybody is dancing, and it's just this festival, this ferocious festival of joy in the room, and everybody is just, it's just so alive. So with this song, Chilean Sky, was me imagining myself in that environment from the origin of it and just kind of projecting that ecstatic, passionate joy. So.
All right. Well, let's hear it.
All right.
No, you're not in Barcelona. That was Southwest Florida guitarist John Housley performing Chilean Sky. It's the first track on his new album of beautiful flamenco guitar music titled The Heart's Furnace. You can connect with John now by calling 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. And in 1995 and or 96, I'm not sure exactly which year, you joined this, you know, the well-known multi-platinum award-winning southern rock band Blackfoot. Tell me about that experience. Just, I mean, they're known for touring prolifically.
Yeah. Yeah. When I was working at Nally Music, Ricky, Al Nally manages Blackfoot. And Ricky was always in the store. And Ricky and I kind of, you know, we became friends there. I've known him for 25 plus years. And there was a period where I went out, was on a touring with a touring band, came back, started teaching at Nally again, which was kind of my home base. And Al called me up to the office and said, "Hey, John, you want to play guitar for Ricky?" You know, because they were in need of a guitar player. And I'm, "Yeah." He goes, "Well, go down to Florida." So I came down to Florida, moved down here, and
so that's what initially brought you to our neck of the woods.
Yeah, yeah. Coming down here, they set up camp down here, and they still have camp. They've got a lineup now where they have local artists, local musicians that are they're carrying on the Blackfoot tradition. And Ricky does a lot of the writing of the music, and then they'll record it and take it out and tour with it still. So
Yeah, I know Blackfoot, you know, there's a relatively high level of turnover. And I've read about other band members who, you know, just didn't quite understand how rigorous the touring schedule was going to be. Did you find that to be true?
You know, working with Ricky was just such an amazing experience. He's such a graceful guy. I mean, he would give me half the solos. He would just share his stage with you. He was just such a joy to work with and learn so much from him. He was just such a natural at it. We would be on the road and he would run into somebody in St. Louis and call him by name and ask him how the lure they're using on the, you know, for the fishing was. And
yeah.
You know, he just retained this information that, you know, was just he was just amazing. So, yeah, the touring was never a problem for me because I loved that gypsy life. So
Yeah. Well, tell me about let's focus a bit on the new album. Is this the first time you've done like a you know studio recording of flamenco music?
Yeah, this was my first shot at this hybrid of the flamenco nuevo style, much in the style of Otmar Lieber, the Gypsy Kings, drawing on that, which is drawing on the flamenco tradition, but giving it more of a pop feel, and it gives you some freedom. You know, so you have to carry the melody because there's no singing, so you have to establish melodies that become familiar and then break away and solo a bit and come back to those melodies. And it's just been a wonderful experience. So.
And just to help me understand further, I mean, the songs you've selected, are these compositions that are written for the guitar, or are they sometimes written for other instruments and then you have to do a little bit of composing and working yourself?
Yeah, all these. Basically, I wrote all the songs. I gave myself a writing exercise. It's like, all right, today I have to write a song. And I would sit down and write a song. And I did that for about 2 weeks and came up with the tracks that came on this album. And then I would re-record the songs because to make sure that the tuning was correct on all of them. Because when I'm jotting the idea down, I'm not paying attention to the details. I'm just getting the idea down, sketching it, and then re-record them. And then that's ultimately what ended up. So,
tell us about the title of the album, The Heart's Furnace. What made you choose that?
A friend of mine, Tim Smith, we were in a band together back in the 80s, and he was primarily a writer, a poet, just amazing with words, a wordsmith. And The Heart's Furnace was a poem that he had written that title just always stuck with me, you know, the play on the metaphor of the heart and the furnace. And so it's kind of like that fire in the soul of all of us, you know, and that's so I borrowed it from my friend Tim. So.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and hear another song from the album, and this is Morning's Call. Introduce this one for us.
Yeah, Morning's Call is a song that just kind of like has that just woke up, cup of coffee in your hand, you step outside, the day greets you, you know, and that's the idea behind this one.
All right. Well, let's hear Morning's Call. Alice's Morning's Call from guitarist John Housley. It's on his new album of Nuevo Flamenco guitar music titled The Heart's Furnace. And John, can you give us maybe kind of a brief primer on, you know, the history or roots of this style of music? I mean, I know it originated in Spain, but beyond that.
Yeah, it's flamenco originally came from the Middle East as the gypsies migrated out. And then Spain, as they settled in there, it kind of took form. And then as we see now with, the Gypsy Kings and Otmar Lieber, you get this hybrid, which is kind of like a popularized, not so much necessarily honoring the tradition of flamenco, but borrowing from it to create, you know, that passionate fiery, which kind of bridges between classical guitar and flamenco guitar. Classical guitar being different techniques, but with that fire of the flamenco, when you hear it, it just lights you up. So this gets to that popular feel of flamenco guitar.
Is there something really stark, you think, that maybe perhaps distinguishes Nuevo Flamenco from an older form of flamenco?
Yeah, I think a lot of it would be just drawing more on the song, the popular song format. Like when you listen to a Bulgaris, it's different type of – like each song has a song that originated from a certain area or part of the country. And when you listen to them, you'll notice very much like a waltz might have a boom-ta-ta, boom-ta-ta. You're going to notice that waltz feel. Well, with these, some of these songs will borrow some of that feel, like the 12 count and where the accents are. But for the most part, you get more to the popularized, you know, song structure. Like with these, you'll have a verse, chorus kind of a feel with a bridge every now and then. It's that you create, you know, it's like when you listen to Star Wars, when Luke Skywalker comes out, there's a theme that you recognize. Oh, that's the Luke theme. And so that music takes on, you know, a character that moves through those tensions and releases.
I notice on the recordings, you're not the only musician featured there.
Yeah, my friend Steve Reich performed all the bass tracks, and without the bass on these, I definitely feel it would lie a little flat in comparison. So it's been wonderful working with him also.
Well, kudos and thank you, Steve, for your contributions there. And unfortunately, we are coming to the end of the hour today. So I want to thank my guest, multifaceted and award-winning Southwest Florida guitarist John Housley. We've been hearing selections from his new album of classical guitar music in the Nuevo Flamenco style titled The Heart's Furnace. You can go to johnhousley.net/music to find out more, or if you want to book John for your event. And of course, the new album The Heart's Furnace is available on CD, on iTunes, or if you're like me, on Spotify. And John Housley, thanks so much for your time today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much, John. It's a pleasure to be here.
And we're going to close out the show hearing a third selection from the album, and this one is called Sophia's Dream. However, we have a lot more music and a lot more conversation that we were not able to get to, so I encourage you, if you've been listening and enjoying this segment and you want to hear more, go to wgcu.org/Gulf Coast Live a bit later this afternoon, and we'll have an extended version of this interview. And that was Sophia's Dream from the new album of Nuevo Flamenco guitar music by Southwest Florida guitar player John Housley. The album is titled The Heart's Furnace. And I'm sorry I didn't give you an opportunity to introduce that one before we played it, but what can you tell us about Sophia's Dream?
Yeah, Sophia's Dilemma.
Dilemma.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. For me, Sophia's Dilemma is Sophia from the Greek word wisdom, wisdom's dilemma. And we all personally are aware of the right thing to do, and sometimes we choose the wrong thing to do, whether it's, you know, smoking, which we know is bad for us, and that we can do that in an individual way, we can do it in a cultural way, and that is the dilemma of wisdom, is we know the right thing to do, but if we choose the wrong things out of choice, not just necessarily naivete, but,
right. You
know, then the song tries to play on that tension of, you know, I'm doing something I shouldn't do, you know, and the effects that it might have on me. So,
yeah, interesting.
Yeah, the title is all I really have to go on to kind of create the mood for these. So the title becomes an integral part for me as I'm playing to melodically, emotionally interpret what I'm trying to get across, you know, to have a mental picture to paint with.
So. Absolutely, yeah. When you're playing classical guitar or flamenco guitar, does this require or do you prefer to use perhaps a different type of instrument than you would, say, playing rock music? I mean, obviously there's acoustic and electric.
Right. Yeah, with classical and flamenco, even those guitars are different. The types of woods that are used in the flamenco guitar and the thickness of the body, those are different. Also with the flamenco guitar, you'll have the tap boards where you're getting the techniques for the tapping on the soundboard. And both of those use nylon strings because you're playing with your fingers. And the nylon string is not – it's going to be easier on your nails, which, you know, is helping produce the tone. The steel string – I think a steel string instrument came out in the mid-1800s is more of a folk music. You played in pubs and such. Mm. The strings are different. The guitars are different. The techniques are obviously different. It's a completely different technique for the right hand because you're not using a plectrum. And it's like a completely different discipline.
Yeah, yeah. I recently read a Facebook meme about bass players that read something like this, and I was wondering if maybe this was something you could identify with the different styles of music you play. But what it said was, like, rock band bassists play a few notes for thousands of people, while jazz bassists play thousands of notes for a few people. Is that something you can identify with?
That's popular music. I mean, jazz used to be the popular music.
Right.
So at that point, they were playing a lot of notes for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so culturally now, pop music has taken harmonically a little more simple path. It's a little, you know, it's when you look at blues-derived pop music, you know, jazz was, you know, borrows from the blues tradition also. But, yeah, it's going to be a – pop music is just a more fundamental structure. It's kind of like everybody can – most people do rudimentary math. And, you know, if you want to get to calculus – it takes a little more study, and
sure. Jazz
music is kind of more calculus oriented. It's going to be a lot more harmonically going on, modulations. To articulate over the changes takes more discipline and grace, and a lot more studying, a lot more practice.
Do you sometimes maybe feel a bit like you're kind of living almost like a double life? Because on the one hand, you've got, you know, the hard rock edge, playing, you know, with an ensemble, places like the Buddha Rock Club. And then I imagine that's got to be worlds away from, you know, the aesthetic and the venues
right. That
you play when you're doing solo.
Yeah. Yeah, everything's about it. The way you dress is different.
Yeah.
That's where for me the rock is kind of like this wild – energy that you're writing, you know, it's loud. It's, you know, it's a lot of room for improvisation, distortion. You know, it's very industrial in that sense. Classical and the flamenco nuevo style has a lighter, graceful air to it, and both are rewarding. But there are times when it, You know, it's like you literally do put on a different hat.
Well, are there, you know, any upcoming venues where you'll be performing the, you know, flamenco style or more traditional guitar music where folks might be able to catch you? Or is that usually like private parties?
Yeah, right now it's like I play classical guitar and the flamenco style. I do a lot of country clubs, private parties there. There's different venues. But I haven't been able to find, you know, I'm looking for, you know, possibly finding some finer dining or some restaurants / clubs that have a need for that. So I've just started searching for that now. So
all right. We'll talk after this recording. I've got some venues in mind.
Okay.
but let's go ahead and hear our fourth song, Melodic Dance.
Yes.
Tell us about this one.
Yeah, Melodic Dance, it borrows from the flamenco tradition of the 12 count, you know, and then also the main melody uses a melodic minor scale, which is kind of a tough one to write with because it's a certain set of notes ascending and a different set descending. So to make that smooth melody out of it can be a little more challenging than just a straight scale set. Yeah, it's something you'll hear in classical music a lot, but and in jazz also. But so I borrowed the melodic minor for the melody on this. It was a writing exercise for me.
All right. Well, let's hear Melodic Dance. Melodic Dance from the Nuevo Flamenco Guitar Album of Music from Southwest Florida's own John Housley. We've been talking with him this hour about that album, and I just wanted to talk to you more, John, about the process of recording the album itself, because, I mean, I know composing the pieces and then, you know, getting everything down, it was kind of a process where you just sort of have to find time while you have so much other stuff going on. How long has this project been something you've been, you know, trying to manifest?
I wrote the songs in about a 2-week period about a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. And then I started working on – I have an electric rock recording act, Sacred Silver, that I finished an album with that. And then at the end of that, was able to get back to this and re-record it and then spend probably about another 3 weeks re-recording the tracks and tightening them up and then sending those tracks to get the bass laid down on them and then putting the bass in and then mastering it. And so I did it all myself in my home. You know, I got a studio downstairs and, just software today makes things much easier to be a Renaissance man, so to speak, and do 15 jobs.
Right.
So
right.
It's over the course of the past year and a half. But if you condense it all, which the next one when I sit down to do, hopefully I'll have it done within, 2-3 weeks.
Is it maybe more difficult to sort of be the sound engineer on your own work versus working with somebody else or with an ensemble? You're always your own worst critic.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, it's much more challenging because you don't have someone to say, no, you're fine, that's good. You find yourself splitting hairs and being distracted with, details that aren't going to really make a difference. When you sit back and listen to it.
You'll know.
Exactly. Like with this, there's tons where I'll be like, oh, there's that click with my fingernail. And, this technique wasn't executed properly. But in the end, it starts to become acceptable and you just get used to it. And then it becomes familiar. So.
All right. Well, we're going to go out with one more song today. And this one is A Glance of Happiness. Tell us about the song.
Yeah, this one for me is that feeling of when you see someone for the first time and you realize that someone is unique and special to you and the joy that brings you, a glance of happiness.
I think that's a universally relatable
yes,
idea.
Right, exactly.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and hear it.
Great.